Praise God, saints. Saints, as I was walking up here today, I realized that there are some things that we never leave unprotected. There are some things in our lives that we just never leave sitting all around. So as I was walking up today, you all saw me leave my purse right there, drop a couple dollars. I dropped one all the way down there, and I was so grateful that Latanya got up and picked that dollar up for me. You see, saints, because I realize that we don't leave things of value sitting around. The things that we care about, the things that we know have value, we guard and we protect. All the women in the house, we all protect our purses. Do you ever see leave your purse sitting around like this? Well, you must ain't got much in that purse, Nisha. All the men, do you ever leave your wallet sitting around where anybody can get to it? We all keep those wallets safe and protected. We would never take our diamond ring off and just leave it sitting casually anywhere. And I know some of us, we go to the bathroom, we wash our hands, we take those rings off, and we be watching. Got to put that ring right back on our hands. We do not leave our jewelry unprotected. How many of us got cell phones? Don't ever leave that cell phone, huh? You been put the lock on the button so can't nobody get inside, get your text messages, and read your stuff. We guard our cell phones. We guard our laptop computers. We don't leave those sitting around. So we protect and guard things that are of material value, but we also guard other people. We never leave our children, well, at least we hope we don't leave our children, just sitting outside all by themselves all night. We would never take our precious newborn baby and just leave them sitting out there in the middle of 105. If we have grandmothers or grandfathers that are like 90 years old or above, we would never take them in the worst neighborhood and just leave them and say, all right, Granny, you good. I'll be back to get you later. We protect them and we care for them. I remember Pastor T, she loves animals. And if you ever saw Pastor T's dog, they were always dressed warmly in weather like this. They had their little coats and the hats. But she also went a step further. When they were in her vehicle, she would protect them and make sure that it didn't get too hot or it didn't get too cold. So we protect the people in our lives. We also can think about school documents. How many of us would leave our large, important essay just sitting around so our little sisters and brothers can write all over? We would not do that. We might lose our notes sometimes, but let me tell you, you never lose your notes for that final exam. When finals is coming up, you on the job. You know where those notes are. You protect your notes. We don't leave our bank book sitting around. We never leave our birth certificate, our Social Security card, our driver's license, our state ID. We protect these things because we realize they have value. We also wouldn't leave these things unprotected because we know what will happen if these things come up missing. We know right now if we lose our purse or our wallets, our whole life will stop. Anybody got me on that? If I lose my purse, I am in a whole lot of trouble. If you lost your wallet, which has your ID, credit cards, and all your other information in it, your life would be totally disrupted. You see, we realize when things of value come up missing in our lives, it causes us hurt, it causes us harm, causes us destruction, and we cannot get those things back. Get your purse stolen, try to get it back. It's real hard to do. Get your ID stolen. It's hard to get it back. And when those things are stolen from us, can you imagine? My heart just hurts for parents when their children are missing. And you just pray that they can get their children back, saints, but sometimes they don't get them back. And so we know that when the things of value in our lives are unprotected, we suffer terrible loss. And you see, saints, we all know that we would never leave items like our purse or our money or our cell phone unprotected. But why is it that we are always leaving our hearts unprotected? We always leave our hearts out on the line. And I know you are saying, my heart, Pastor Kelly, what does my heart got to do with anything? My heart is inside my body. It's all right. I know where it's at. But you see, saints, if we really think about it, when God created us And God said, you are uniquely and wonderfully made, and you have value. He went one step further and said, not only do you have value, I'm going to give you something of value, and I'm going to give you a heart. You see, none of us today can live without this heart. This heart is the center of us. Every single part of us is dependent upon the middle. You see, this heart pumps blood all the way from the bottom of our feet to the tops of our heads. And if that comes up missing for one moment, you are gone. You are gone. So God said, I am giving you something of value. I'm placing it in the center of you. I'm going to wrap it around with your ribs. I'm going to surround it and protect it with your lungs. It is of value. And you see, saints, we begin to take the heart for granted. Let's read Proverbs 4:23 together. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Then look at that from the NIV version. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything we do flows from our center, saints. Every part of us, every choice we make comes from the center. And so our heart is just not a mechanism, an organ that pumps the blood. This is where we feel at. Have you ever noticed when you feel something, you don't feel it down in your knees? When you start feeling like you in love, you don't feel love down in your knees or your ankles. You feel it right in the center. So the heart itself is an organ that not only functions to physically nourish us, but is providing the emotional and spiritual center of who we are. And sometimes, saints, we fail to see the importance of this area of the body. We don't see just how important this center is to everything else. When we see in that scripture, it says, above all else. Above all else can also be translated as saying, this is the number one priority. The number one priority. God is saying, if you don't protect anything else on you, guard your heart. Protect your center. But you see, what we keep doing, we guard our purses. We guard our wallets. We guard our cell phones. But when it comes to the heart, we say, let's lay our hearts out on the line. Let's put our hearts all into it. Let's just lay it all out there. Follow our hearts. Do what your heart is telling you to do. And God is saying, I told you to guard and protect your most important, your most valuable part. And here you go listening to the world, and you lay your heart out on the line. You see, saints, God created us in such a way that we would be chemically drawn to one another. It's called our hormones. We learn about it in our preteen years. God created us so that when we were walking by somebody else, our heads would go like this. Ooh, did you see that? Did you see that guy? Now, saints, some of us are chemically drawn to a whole lot of people. We go like this. Ooh, did you see him? Ooh, did you see him over there? But God truly created us to be connected to the one person that is right for us. And so when we have these chemical reactions, saints, it is a normal part of what God created us to be, but God also wanted us to guard what he gave to us, to protect it, so that when we're walking down the street, we're not going woo-woo and ooh-ooh at every single person we see. But you see, saints, these hormones, when they rage, and we all remember being teenagers. The first time when you go woo-woo, it is like the best time ever. It's like your first McDonald's cheeseburger or something. Every time when it's the first time, it's the best. But as we grow and mature, we realize we can't keep wooing out to every single person that comes our way. But you see, these hormones in us can sometimes be so powerful and so amazing, and they can feel so good that we begin to think, Lord, I'm falling in love. I am falling in love. But you see, saints, what I would like us to all begin to do is add the word help. Help me. You see, because we think we're falling in love, But we need some advice and some instruction to know, are we really in love? You see, because those feelings and that heart and that center, they can get us real distracted, can start getting us to start seeing imaginary people. And I know you're thinking, I never saw no imaginary people, Pastor Kelly. I don't have no imaginary friends. Yes, you do. We all got some imaginary friends. You see, when that heart gets to beating and pumping for the person, you see the imaginary friend that's called Mr. Right. And you say about Mr. Right, oh, he just treat me so nice. We connect on a different level. We are so great together. While the rest of us see the real person, and we say, look at his record. Look how he acting. Brother don't got no job. What do you see that we're not seeing? Our hearts can cause us to see imaginary Miss Right. And our brothers out there can say, oh, look how good she look, and she treat me so nice, and oh, we just work so well together. When the rest of us can see, look how rude she is. Look how obnoxious she is. Look how selfish she is toward you. So we all can see some imaginary people in our lives. And we think, you know, when we fall in love, we can spend hours talking to this person. We on our cell phone, we texting, we shooting each other on Facebook, you know. We changing our status on Facebook. We not single, we got somebody. We all kind of things. And we're thinking, woo, we just flowing and everything's together and we spending all this time together. And you see that. But the rest of us see, you are getting stalked, or you are stalking somebody else. You need to get some space in that relationship. You see, our center can cause us to get things mixed up. Our center can cause us to feel like the feelings that we are going to have are going to last forever. All of us that's been married or that are married, don't you remember those first feelings? Did they last forever? How long did they last? To right after you said I do, huh? Are you still got yours, Marvin? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We want to be like Marvin. We want to be like Marvin and Geraldine. They still say woo woo every time they walk past. But sometimes, saints, our feelings, our center can cause us to think that the feelings that we're going to have, that we have right then, are going to create the best marriages ever. But anyone that's been married knows that those feelings got to transcend and become better and deeper for your marriage to last forever. You see, sometimes we can feel like these feelings that we have for another person, they give us a sense of security. And a lot of us want some security. We want some help. We want some person that's going to come alongside of us and work with us and help us through our difficult circumstances, saints. But those feelings deceive us, and we put those rose-colored glasses on, and we see that this person is not really helping us. This person is really hurting us. And you see, what's really dangerous, saints, and what's really hard for most of us is those feelings that we begin to feel at our center can feel so good that all of those romantic songs start coming into our mind, and then we start singing things like, let's get it on. Woo, let's get it on. And then because we're feeling so good, the next step is immediately to lie down in the bed. And we barely know this person's last name. So you see, all of us need some help and learning to determine if we are truly in love. And you see, saints, most of this message today is for those that are single or that are thinking about or trying to figure out if they're in love. But I also want us to know that those of us that are married or in families, or this applies to all of us, because we all need to stop and think sometime, am I truly loving this person? Is this person truly loving me? And so we're going to take a little love test today. And the love test comes actually right from the Bible. You may be saying, Pastor Kelly, I never saw no love test in the Bible. But it's right there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We call it the love passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. And here's your first test. When you go home today and you tell that other person in your life that you're trying to figure out if you love, we about to take this love test. And they say, no, I don't want to take no love test. Are we good? We know we love each other. Give them an F and walk away. They have failed. If a person is unwilling to even discuss whether or not you are in love or if this is true love, then they have already failed the test. Tell them to kick rocks and keep moving. So then if they say yes, okay, you can move to the second level. Get your Bibles. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Start with love is patient. Here is the test. Here's some of the questions you want to ask yourself and ask of them. First question, can you wait? Can you wait for me? Can you wait until it's the right time? Better yet, can you wait until it's God's time? And you see, saints, we get such in a rush. I still remember back in the day when I was a teenager. No offense to the young guys, but y'all was hard on a sister. We got to do it right now, Kelly. Like, we got to do it right now. We in school, dude. What are we doing right now? I knew right then it was the wrong time. Are you going in the back classroom or something? The pressure is tough. And the pressure, saints, nowadays, see, back in my day, it was just the guys on the girls. But now, it is the girls on the guys. Ladies, we are not helping our brothers when we're walking around with our skirts up high and our shirts down low. They're trying to wait. They're trying to be patient on the Lord. And you come in, look what I got. Can you wait on me is the question we want to ask each other. Can you be patient while we discover if this is a true relationship for both of us? If they say no, kick rocks and walk out the door. Next question in the love test. Love is kind. Another way of saying kind is considerate. Love is considerate of my needs. Do you consider me and my needs before you make the decision you're going to go make? You see, saints, some of us get a little money in our pockets and then we decide, oh, I'm going to buy a new car. I'm going to put us in debt. Did you consider me before you decided to go get into debt? Some of us think, oh, I'm struggling today. I'm just going to go get my hustle on out in the street and, you know, I'm going to do a little something, something and commit a crime. Did you consider me before you committed that crime, which is going to affect our whole family? You know, some of us think when we're doing things to hurt our bodies, we're taking drugs, we're drinking alcohol, we're not eating right. Are you considering me? Because if you die from something that was absolutely preventable, did you consider me and how that was going to affect my life? So ask the person that you're having feelings with, do they consider you? It's not a hard, you probably don't even have to ask them. You already know if they consider you or not. Because they probably already made some decisions that have negatively affected your life. And if they've done that, it's maybe time to go, time to let go. Next question you can ask is, love does not envy. It does not envy. You see, saints, we always can feel a little self-conscious. We always think, you know, I'm not pretty enough, or I'm not handsome enough, or I weigh a little bit too much, or I don't weigh enough, or this person has a little bit more up there and I got a little less down here. And so we always comparing ourselves to somebody else, and so we don't feel good enough for somebody. And so every time that somebody talks to another sister, or that somebody talks to another brother, we question it. Well, what you talking to them for? Did you get their phone number? Do you like them better than you like me? Or maybe that person is always asking you, well, why are you talking to such and such? Or asking you, where you going? How long you going to be there? When you coming back? You see, people don't trust and they start to envy things. And they don't have a trust in the relationship, saints. And if they're always envying something, they are not loving you. Because a person who loves you will look at you and say, I love you for exactly who God created you to be. I love you. You are beautiful. You are handsome. And I don't want you to change one thing about you. You see, love does not also boast. Ever been with that person that walks around and says, I got this kind of job. Everybody wants me. Look at how I'm dressed. You see my swag? Look how good I look. Everybody should be with me. Look how much money I got. Now, always boasting about what they got and telling you what they got and that you should be thankful to be with them. Like, wow, I should be thankful to be with you. And some of us fall into that, but we need to say, so what? Who cares what you got? You got a nice car, but are you taking care of me? You can't never come and get me when I need a ride. So what? You got nice shoes. You gonna help me get me some nice shoes? It's not about what a person has or what a person does not have. That's not what love is all about. Love is loving somebody regardless of what they have or don't have. Let's look at this next part of the test. It says, love is not proud. Love is not proud. I love to see those couples. They're just so in love. They're walking down the street holding hands. And then they look over at you like, yeah, we not them. You see, they all sad looking. Look like they don't even care about each other anymore. We not them. We just better. We just the best couple ever. Get married. Spend some time together for a little while. Go through some hard times. You'd be lucky if you in the same room some days. Love is not proud. Never looks down upon another person and believes that some kind of way you are better than that person. That's true in all of our relationships, though, not just in male-female relationships, you see, because we can look down upon our children and we think, you know, you don't know. I know better than you. We can look up at our parents and say, you don't know. You too old to know anything. I know everything. Then it says, love is not self-seeking. Self-seeking is another way of saying selfish. Me, 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 I. If every time you talk to the person and they first say, I am, how I am, did you ask me how I, me? And they barely use the word you. How are you doing? What's going on with you? What do you need? If it's always me, I, that is not love. You see, because love puts the other person first. Love thinks of the other person before themselves. So if you got that person, me, I, give them the hand and walk away. Then it says in the next part of this test, love is not easily angered. Easily is the word I want us to focus on. Doesn't say love doesn't get angry, because we all get angry. It says love is not easily angered, going back up to that part about patience. Love is not easily angered, so as soon as that person does one thing and flies off the handle at you, then you know something. You see, sometimes people get so angry and they start using words, I'm frustrated, I'm upset, you just getting on my nerves, stop nagging me. And see, that's easily angered. Because true love will say, okay, they starting to take me there. I'm gonna move myself out of the situation. I'm gonna start saying my prayers. Because I'm not trying to become easily angered with this person. This is the one I have the most difficult with. Love keeps no record of wrongs. If you are always saying, remember when, you are keeping records of wrong. Remember when you were supposed to pick me up and you didn't pick me up? Remember when you said you was going to give me that money and you didn't give me that money? Remember when you said you was going to come to that concert that I was singing at and you didn't show up? Remember when you said those words and you hurt my feelings? You see, love keeps no record of wrongdoing means that someone may hurt you, you forgive them, and you move on. But you see, what we do is someone hurts us, we try to forgive them, but then we keep reminding them of every time they hurt us. We can all look at that in all of our relationships, our parents, our children, our sisters, our brothers. How many of us are still struggling because we hurting from something that happened to us when we was 5 years old? Here's another one we struggle with. Love does not delight in evil. Love does not delight in evil. And you may be thinking, what evil? What evil is in our lives? What are you talking about? But anytime anyone asks you to do anything that is not of God, they are delighting in evil. You see, premarital sex has been determined to be a sin by God. If you're having premarital sex, I'm sorry to tell you today, you're delighting in evil. And I'm not speaking to you as a person that comes like some from pure, clean background. Y'all know my past. But when I learned that premarital sex was the sin, it was time to stop. You see, before we are in Christ, we can do one thing. But when we cross that line and say, I am of Christ, it's time to take off the old and put on the new. And trust me, saints, that's hard to do when you've been having sex with somebody so long, y'all are wrapped up tight together. It's hard to tell them no. But it's possible. Because I remember saying it. No. No, we ain't doing it no more. It's done. But when someone asks you to do something that is against God, they are asking you to delight in evil. Drinking and drugs are delighting in evil. Another hard one is porn. You see, some couples feel like, oh, you know, we watching it together. We good. I'm sorry. I'll just look at y'all faces when I said that. But sometimes we think we're getting away with something, and since we are in agreement with each other, and, you know, we go on that trip to the hotel and we turn on the TV and it's, you know, right there in front of us. Well, I didn't turn it on. It was just, oh, I just left it on. We are delighting in evil. God created us to be with someone special, saints. And he didn't put us together to have all these problems and circumstances and hardships. And sometimes we bring them on with us, all of ourselves. We are the problem. Not the marriage or the relationships. We are the problem. You see, ask yourself when you're thinking about, am I in love? You see, it says, love rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices with the truth. And the key word I want us to focus on here is the word truth. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So another way of saying that is love rejoices with Jesus. So you see, saints, if you know that you are really, truly in love, when you can go up to somebody and you can say, hey, tell me about yourself. What's your name? My name is Kelly. And they say, oh, my name is Terrence. And then your next question should be, do you know Jesus? Right. And you see, saints, if they get offended, oh, here go one of those. You already know. Walk away. He is not the one. She is not the one. But if you walk up to that person and y'all go back and forth and you say, do you know Jesus? And that person says, yes, I know Jesus. You know Jesus too. You start doing the Holy Ghost dance right then. Because that person might be your one. You see, love cares about whether or not you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Love cares if you go to church. Love wants the best for your relationship with God. Love isn't trying to pull you out of the church and pull you away from your support. Love is pushing you every Sunday, get up and go. Love is pushing you on Wednesday, go to Bible study. You know you need that support. You see, it also says love always protects. Always protects. Remember I told you, God placed our hearts in the center. He surrounded our hearts with our ribs and put it inside of our lungs. Put it right there so that it would be the last thing touched if someone was trying to get to it. And you see, it says love always protects. When someone loves you, they are trying to protect you. They are trying to make sure that you are constantly safe and have what you need. Love isn't calling you out in the streets and saying, come on, I want you to get in danger. I want you to do something that's going to cause you to go to jail. I want you to do something that's going to cause your money to be gone. I want you to do something that's going to affect your children and mess their lives up. You see, love always trusts. And this is the part where I'm switching gears because, saints, many of us are already in relationships. We already married. We already got our significant other that we already are with. And we thinking back, we saying, "Ooh, Lord, Pastor Kelly, I wish I had this test 10 years ago. I might not be in the relationship that I'm in now. Is it time for me to go?" But I'm telling you right now, saints, you got a fresh start today. You might have not known then, but you know now. And so today is the day that the Lord has made. It's a whole new day. You get a new start. Let go of the old. Embrace the new. You see, because it says love always trusts. It always hopes. Always hopes. Yes, today your relationship may be bad, but the only way it's going to stay bad is if you let it. The only way it's going to keep on, y'all going to keep arguing and yelling and fussing and fighting and not getting along and hating each other is if you keep on doing the same thing you've been doing. Today is a new day. It says love always perseveres. I know some of you may be thinking, oh, Pastor Kelly, you just don't know how bad it is in my house. Some of you aren't talking. Some of you haven't spoken in days. But love always perseveres. So fight the good fight, saints. Finish the race. Today is the day, not the day to give up if you're struggling in your relationship. Today is your new day. You see, in a couple sermons from now, we're going to be talking about, is it truly time for divorce? But that's not today. Today is the day to persevere. To bring that person with you so that they can learn a little bit about what love is. And then together, y'all can determine whether or not it's time to stay or time to go. You see, I think about all of us that are in situations. We're taking care of children. We're taking care of parents. And life is real difficult. It's real, real hard. And I know even more personally because I've been helping to take care of my mother-in-law. And I've shared with you all that she has dementia. And it is hard. It is so heartbreaking to watch someone you love lose their abilities. But you see, saints, it says love hopes, it trusts, it perseveres, and never fails. And so to those of us that are in those caregiving situations right now, we're in those tough situations, do not fail those people that need us right now. Do not fail them because they only got us. It never fails. And you may be sitting there thinking, wow, Pastor Kelly, that's a lot. I don't think I can pass this test. I just don't got it in me. And you may be thinking, you may be motivated. You may be thinking, I'm going home. I'm just going to try a little harder. But let me tell you honestly, you cannot try harder. We cannot try hard enough. There is nothing that we can do personally by ourselves to love. The only way that we can do this, saints, is when we yield our lives to Christ. You see, because Christ Jesus is the only way, he's the only one that understands how to truly love somebody. He's the only one that understands I can love you when you don't deserve to be loved. He's the only one that says I can love you when you have failed me. He says I can love you in the good times and the bad times. And the only way we learn that love, the only way we get that love is when we give our hearts to Christ. You see, we're so busy giving our hearts to you and everybody in the world, but it's time to give our hearts to the one that is truly trying to guard them, that is truly trying to protect us, and that truly loves us. You see, God likes to form our hearts. He likes to create new hearts in us. He likes to transform us. But we're so busy forcing ourselves into a relationship that God never ordained us to be in. So saints, it's time today to guard our hearts and begin waiting on the Lord. Let us pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you. Gracious God, I thank you personally for all the times that you have loved me. And I know I have failed you, Lord Jesus. And all of us together, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you have been the light in our lives. You have loved us when we were unlovable. You have loved us, Lord, when we turned our backs against you. You have loved us, Lord, when we didn't even know you, Lord Jesus. So we say thank you. We pray right now, Lord, that you would help us all to understand what love truly is. And love is the answer. You are the answer for us in the world today, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for all that we're doing, that you're doing in our lives. And we give you all the praise. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said amen and amen.